Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Cholentani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. Again, I am your host, Lauren, and you are listening to episode 82, The Truth About Kegels with Dr. Nikki Cohen. Now, today's guest, Dr. Nikki, is a women's health physical therapist who honors and respects all that it is to be a woman. And she specializes in treating the whole person and not just the physical ailments. Using a blend of traditional and holistic techniques and therapies, she helps her clients connect to their bodies in a new and powerful ways, which not only alleviates pain, bladder leakage, and digestive issues, but also transforms their body, leaving them with feeling confident and powerful in their own life. It was such an honor to have Dr. Nikki on the show today. Before we get into the juicy what you'll hear in today's episode, I wanted to let you know that this episode was brought to you by magnesium. If you guys are interested in learning about how magnesium can help support your health and wellness, head over and listen to Witchy Wellness Radio episode number 73. That's 73, Maximizing Your Health with Magnesium with the beautiful guest, Kristen Bowen. Her company, Living the Good Life Naturally, offers premium magnesium products. I love their products so much that we have an affiliate discount code for Witchy Wellness. Head over to the link in the show notes and use the code Witchy, W-I-C-T-H-Y, to get 10% off your cart. Now back to today's episode. You will hear about how Dr. Nikki started in physical therapy and quickly learned about pelvic floor therapy. What is your pelvic floor? And how the pelvic floor is connected to the entire body. Generational healing through healing yourself and your own body. Moving energy through your body to heal. And where does your power source live as a woman? The real truth about Kegels. How emotions are stored in your body. And so, so, so much more. I'm so excited to share episode 82 with you guys, The Truth About Kegels with Dr. Nikki Cohen. Please enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, the show you learn that your body is not in your way, but leading your way, and you guys will learn all about how this as a woman in today's episode. And today's guest is Nikki Cohen, and we're talking about why women's health is so much more than physical and how mental and emotional states affect our bodies. And Nikki is a women's health physical therapist who honors and respects all that it is, all that a woman is. Dr. Nikki specializes in treating the whole person and not just physical ailments. Using a blend of traditional and holistic therapy, she helps her clients connect to their bodies in new and powerful ways, which not only alleviates pain, bladder issues, and digestive issues, but transforms their relationship to their body, leaving them feeling confident and powerful for life. Whew. What an intro. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nikki.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. We're talking off air. I'm so passionate about all this stuff, and I want to hear how you got into this, but you know, we were talking how many women don't even realize what a Kegel is.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind. And I would love to hear your discovery about Kegels. And then also, you know, writing an ebook about the truth about these Kegels, you know, do they even work? Are they the end all be all? But yeah, please welcome to the show and please enlighten us of your journey to where you got to doing the work you do today.
Oh, thank you so much. So my journey started with probably when I was a kid, if we're going to go back there, and I was always fascinated with the human body. My mom jokes at parties that when I was five, I said I wanted to be a doctor, and I would always play doctor instead of playing tea or with dolls. There was something so fascinating about the way the body worked. And so fast forward through high school and college, and I started to discover this world of physical therapy. And through injuries of my own, I saw physical therapists and I watched how they analyzed me and watched me move. And it was so beautiful, this the science behind it and the intricacy and the detail of the relationship of how everything was connected into the body. And I didn't find that with traditional medical practice. You know, I started to see that traditional medicine compartmentalized everything into systems. You know, if you have a urinary problem, you see a urinary doctor, and the urinary doctor doesn't really think about your hormones or your nervous system. It's just, you know, they're excellent at what they do down to the tiny microscopic detail, but they've lost the big picture of what it is to be a human being. And so through my practice and becoming a physical therapist and getting my doctorate and getting my license and practicing in that detective kind of way to try and understand why something wasn't working in someone's body, that led me into the world of pelvic floor physical therapy and women's health. Because I got to see that this tiny group of muscles inside of the body had a huge impact on the way everything worked, because it was your center. It's your core as a man or a woman. But women, because we're the ones that have babies, have more of a probability of something happening to or with your pelvic floor. And I started to see, as I learned more about that, people's back pain was getting better with pelvic floor work. People's headaches were resolving with pelvic floor work. And I started to really see, oh my gosh, this is connected to everything. And I started to treat that way. And that led me down the craniosacral path and the visceral manipulation path, which truly opened my eyes to what I have now called the inner world of the body, the world of organs, the world of emotions, and how that piece of the pie really completed this whole pie of what it is to be human, and more specifically, what it is to be woman. And so that allowed me to break free from corporate healthcare and start my own practice where I could really honor the being in front of me and use whatever tools I had in my toolbox, whether it was traditional physical therapy exercises or joint manipulations or stretches, or it was more of a quieting technique for the nervous system and holding space for the emotions to express themselves and to manifest, or it's literally working with an organ in the body. Let's say a woman had a C-section, right? And there could be scar tissue around that uterus that doesn't allow it to move freely inside of the pelvic bowl, and how that helped with her TMJ pain. Like it really allowed me to see that we don't fit into these boxes that science and Western medicine puts us in. And it works for many people, but it really fails so many other people. And as women, I have found that when science and medicine doesn't have an answer to what we're experiencing, the default is to say, well, it's all in your head. Or, you know, well, if it's not working, then I don't know what to do. And kind of just dismiss us, which just fuels the problem. And so when I created my business, I structured it so there is no time limit on a session. That being said, it usually doesn't go beyond 2-2.5 hours because the body can only take so much, but that space holds the space, right? That time holds the space for the true issues, the root causes to actually show up, because I know and they know that this is a safe, open space and there isn't somebody waiting in the waiting room behind them and their hour's almost up. And so that really transformed how I work, and the results that these women are getting by having that space be created.
Beautiful, beautiful. I know there's so many ways to get into this. And I, for me, with my own limited experience with the pelvic floor, and, you know, for, we talk a lot of woo here, you know, that first energy center, there's a lot of emotion stored there. A lot. Oh, yeah. And even this year for me, realizing that, like, as women, a lot of the time we numb out. So, because there's a lot stored down there. And this year has been a very emotional year, and uncovering and working with that center for me, but it's been all good, and it's been releasing. We store a lot of fear, shame, guilt. Like, if you follow yogis out here, every time, you know, you might be doing a pigeon pose, you know, it's painful, but you might find yourself suddenly feeling like you want to cry, or this emotion comes forward. Same thing with the pelvic floor, people. And it's not all bad. I don't want to scare people away, but there's a lot stored there. And I feel like as women, we're so cut off. Like you said, the medical industry enforces yeah. all of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's in your head, or you're on your period, or you're PMSing, you know, you hear that all the time. It's as an excuse, but that's an honor for me. Transitioning for my menstruation from this curse, you know, I love my mother. She is one of the best mother that you could have, but it was passed down generationally that, well, it's just something you have to deal with once a month until it goes away. And just re-engineering the way we look at ourselves and our bodies, that's one of the reasons why I started the show. And that's our tagline. Our bodies are not in the way. They are leading the way. So I guess I wanted to jump into everywhere, but can we jump into the emotional side and just storing the trauma and the stress and whatever else is in the pelvic floor? Because I don't think people realize that.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you brought up pigeon pose in yoga, because there was this moment when I was doing yoga years ago when I was in pigeon pose and I started sobbing. Like right in there in the yoga studio, sobbing into my block because I can't touch the floor yet with my head. And I was just sobbing and I was like, holy crap, where is this coming from? Like, what is this? And when I finally got home that afternoon, I did a deep meditation to really kind of hold space for what that was. And you mentioned intergenerational teachings, and I had this vision and this surrounding of light from my maternal grandmother. And she had passed 25 years ago, but she came to me and I started to see that there was so much unprocessed emotion in her lifetime and in her body. And it was passed down through, somehow it kind of skipped my mom, which I hear with energetics and ancestral lineage that tends to happen. And I could feel it manifesting in my body, so much shame and so much guilt and so much disassociation from the body. And I heard this message that part of my, I'm going to get teary-eyed. Part of my journey in this life is to honor that and to not shame it and to reintegrate the power center of woman, because our power center, as I have learned through my own journey, stems from our pelvis. Our first chakra is the foundation, and the pelvic floor is in the first chakra. And so all first chakra energies, unprocessed energies, are stored in there. And back to pigeon pose, the hip muscles are connected through fascia, which is the fancy medical term for like connective tissue. And the pelvic floor runs north, south, and east, west. And the fascia, the container, goes up and over into the hips. So when you move your hips, you're actually affecting your pelvic floor. And that's why a lot of hip openers in yoga tend to create this, holy smokes, what is this energy, right? And there's a reason why Kundalini energy starts from the bottom. It's this spiraling power energy from source that has to come up through the base. It doesn't come into the heart and up to the crown. It has to start at the base. And for generations, for thousands of years, our pelvic centers have been shamed. We have been told your period is a burden. If you have too much sex, you're a whore. Masturbation is sinful. You smell funny down there. You know, all of these things that, you know, patriarchy, not to blame, but that's just the world we inherited in our generation. I believe that when you want to really suppress and control something, you shame their power source. You make them start to question their own sense of self, their own sense of woman, capital W woman, and their capital F feminine power. And that stems in our pelvis. And so if they shame that and everything that is pelvis, then we as women are inherently submissive and just go with the flow, right? And all these feminine features or characteristics that we've inherited to be, quote, good, right? To go with the flow, to be easy, to be docile. Those are all girly, lowercase f feminine ways of being that really don't serve us all the time. There is a time and a place to be receptive, and there is extraordinary power in not doing, extraordinary power. And being, and those are capital F feminine powerful traits that we've never been taught, and we've never really been allowed to practice that. Because, girl, let me tell you, when you start really holding space and opening from your pelvis, from that energy, it's not pretty. It's very primal. It's very ugly. I mean, I bought myself for my birthday, this ginormous yoga mat. It's like 11 by 9 feet. And the reason I did that was because I found myself in my meditations when I fully allow my body to lead, which is why I love your tagline. I start like writhing on the floor and putting my hands in claws and sticking out my tongue and baring my teeth and like really working through this primal energy, and it's ugly, and you cry and you shake and you come out of it like there is no physical entity here. This is all spiritual light. And I have found that in order to get to that place, there has to be this honoring and going there in your body and in your emotions. And so when you feel angry, you move angry, right? I ask my body, all right, I am so angry right now. I'm so frustrated. I can't believe whatever, whatever. And then I'll just like sit in it and I'll start to let my body move in any way it needs to move, because that physical process allows the emotional process to ensue, and vice versa. And so much of what I've seen in the past decade working with women in particular is that there's this unprocessed emotion, whether it's like me, ancestral. I mean, I got this lifetime stuff down there too, don't get me wrong, but you start to really see these childhood shameful things that have to do with womanhood being stored there. So when I'm doing a pelvic floor release or visceral manipulation with the pelvic organs, there is kind of a physical shaking sometimes, or tears sometimes, or anxiety sometimes. And it's the first time for many of these women that they've ever had an opportunity to be with that, to look at that, because they've been trained and they do a great job at being a wife and a mother. And their whole life becomes about servitude, which I'm not downing. Servitude is one of the highest forms of being, but it's at the cost of honoring themselves and their power. It all of life is dark and light, right? Positive and negative, and finding that balance. And I think for women, it's been so long out of balance that we've just completely forgotten where our power lies. And that's where, you know, I've seen that once these women who are on my table honor that and hold space for it, not that there's anything to do, it's just to be with. Yep. And there's this new power that they leave and they call me and they text me and they send me emails and they're like, I don't know what you did, but all of a sudden I just, you know, like life just works better because their perspective has shifted because they're now connected to their power.
Oof. I think it was Dr. Christian Northup said a quote like that is, go where the fear is because that's where your power lies.
Absolutely.
1,000%.
Absolutely. Just to piggyback on that really quick. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
She is brilliant and Mama Gina is brilliant. And they also both really tap into that. And that's general rule of thumb is where you're scared or where you feel ashamed, that's exactly where you have to go. You know, it's the hero's journey, right? Mm-hmm. You go into the dark woods by yourself and you're terrified. You have no idea how to survive. And that has to happen in order to come out the other end.
Yeah. For me, this year has been an unfolding more and more of that root and chakra. Actually, the past few weeks of 2020, this will be airing in 2021. You know, people think a spiritual awakening is just rainbows and butterflies, but this root work, I have not experienced that deep of like primal fear from whatever was coming up for like a few days. And I was doing energy work and I was provoking because I knew there was something down there. And I just want to share my story because we cut ourselves off from our emotions. I was just getting really triggered and angry, just short with people. And I'm like, that's not me. What's coming up? And the root of it was like you touched on, I was pissed off about being stuck in the servitude space. I want time for me. I have something to say. I want to take care of me. And that's great. And I was dancing these two worlds and realizing I was putting my own partner in this pedestal of all of the patriarchy of all the men, even though he was not being disrespectful, but I put him there. And I had to own that. And I had to own what does this look like? What does this dance look like between being a partner and a doggy mama and, you know, taking care of myself and doing my own work and realizing that I had been helping everybody but not doing the inner work and doing that shadow work on myself. And sooner or later, people, it'll come up. So, and just that life force. And now I have this, I don't know, over this newfound groundedness and clarity and presence. But it was because through all this stuff and this big truth that was kind of slapping me across the face, right? That I could work through that and hold that space and allow that to come up and through. Because when we hold on to those emotions, whether they're good or bad, like, you know, we've all been there. We've been the clingy, maybe girlfriend in a relationship or whatever. But when you hold on to something like that, it'll become sour. So it's just allowing those things to come up and process. And I just wanted to share that because that's what you're talking about. This is real life, people, and listening to your body, listening to your emotions. It's important, and the work that you do helps women and empower you to not only hold that space, but to realize that that's what's really going on. And it's so interconnected to so many different things in our body. I would love to go into, and you can, however you want to take this, we've mentioned how this helps other physical things as well as digestive, bladder leakage, headaches. You know, what have you seen that it helps, but also someone might be listening thinking, you know, that's really cool. Kind of sounds scary. Yeah, there's a lot of power there. Do I need help with this? Do I, you know, who would benefit from the work that you do as well?
I want to say anyone would benefit from it. But I will say that here in San Diego, where I live and work, most people end up finding me when whatever it is they're dealing with just isn't getting better. And that can be anything from headaches to IBS to bladder leakage to back pain. And so I think to answer your question, the person who's still struggling but has tried everything would probably be the one that comes to someone like me. I'm limited by my license to practice in the state of California anyway, or only. So that is what, one of the reasons why I have broke out into the online sphere, so I can at least share the knowledge with people, even if I can't put my hands directly on them. And I've been playing a little bit with the energetics of it and seeing, I've been playing with more family and friends who live on the East Coast, and that seems to be effective as well. It's because the whole body is connected, literally. It's, you know, you don't have to put anything in or take anything out other than like food and poop, but like the body works perfectly in this closed system. And so when it's not working the way you might want it to work, or the way it, quote, should work, I don't like shoulds, that's when you can start to ask yourself, okay, I've been to the chiropractor, I've been to the regular physical therapist. I don't consider myself a regular physical therapist. I've maybe tried the medication or whatever, like kind of ticked the boxes. Okay, there's nothing showing up on this MRI scan. So maybe, just maybe, there might be a non-physical component to what I'm experiencing. And whether people can find that through meditations or yoga types of movement or however they want to, or they're comfortable tapping into that, even just the willingness to have a conversation with your body or the energy in that space of the body opens up the dialogue so the body can feel acknowledged and heard. And then, you know, you keep tapping into it, you keep watering that plant, so to speak, you keep holding space for that conversation, even if it's just 3 minutes, you know, every morning in the shower, just connecting, putting your hand there and going, okay, what do I need to know? What am I missing? And you might not get an answer right then and there in the shower, but you're creating that openness for something to come to you. It could be in a dream. It could be something your partner says, something your kid says, and it triggers you and you're like, oh, that's something. I don't know what, but that's something. And you start to get to be a little bit of like it's like a scavenger hunt almost, a little bit a detective, because that line of communication has now been open. And so that's what I found that really helps create empowerment in the person. Whereas, you know, in my treatments, I kind of initiate that and hold space for that. And then once they get it, they're like, oh, okay. And then they don't need me anymore. And that's awesome. I don't want someone to come to me every week for the rest of their lives. You know, I'm not doing my job if that's the case. Unless you want to have coffee or a glass of wine or something, that's different. But that's what I think, where people, when things just aren't getting better. Mm-hmm. So it could be, I'm super bloated all the time, you know, or I've done all the Kegels in the world and I'm still peeing myself, or, you know, I got the night guard and I got my head scanned and everything looks great, but I'm still waking up with a headache every single day. So those kinds of things tend to be the little flag that's being waved, that the body has something to say. And it's our job as the inhabitants of our body to listen.
Amen. You mentioned Kegels. I would love to like dive into that hot topic, if you will. A lot of women don't know about it, which I was surprised about. But when you do know about it, it's kind of preached as this quick fix for every single thing female related. I would love to hear, I mean, you wrote your ebook, The Truth About Kegels. I would love to hear some snippets of that truth.
You got it, Lauren. That was part of my journey, was I went to the gynecologist. I was having some female issues and she was like, well, just do your Kegels. And I was like, okay. And I had a pelvic floor knowledge, so I knew what Kegels were. And I started doing Kegels and I noticed that my symptoms, so just to get it real on the court, I was peeing myself. Like I was one of my patients before and my symptoms were urge related. I would get strong, sudden urges to pee. And if I didn't run to the bathroom, I would leak. And I was like, this makes no sense to me because I've never had a baby.
I'm 23 years old. Like what, like this is an old lady thing, or this is a postpartum thing. Like I don't fit into this category. And I started doing all these Kegels and it got worse. And not only did it get worse, but I started to get pelvic pain and tailbone pain. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? I thought these were the end all be all for everything wrong, quote unquote, down there. So with my physical therapy knowledge, I started to really look at muscle physiology and the anatomy. So how the muscles work, what they need to work to the best of their ability, what else could be influencing my bladder? What else could be influencing my tailbone pain, my digestion? I had headaches all the time too. So through my own journey of trial and error, and there was lots of trial and error, I started to really see that, okay, the pelvic floor, which are the muscles that you use to do what they call a Kegel exercise. Kegel was named after this doctor back in the 50s. I think it's Arnold or Arthur Kegel. And he was the first one that started studying the contraction relaxation phases of the pelvic floor. And so, of course, as you know, patriarchy would have it, they named it after him. So this exercise is all named after a male doctor who stuck measuring tools in women's vaginas and had them squeeze and release. And he deemed those to be effective for bladder leakage and constipation and vaginal issues, pain with sex, all of that. Because if something isn't working, you strengthen it, right? That's the world we were born into. It makes sense. If it's not strong, it's inherently weak. So it has to be strong and tight all the time. And what I discovered was, just like any other muscle in the body, if a muscle is tight, it doesn't work well. It just doesn't. You know, if you were to take 0, which is perfectly happy, relaxed, soft, squishy muscle, and 100, which is the tightest, strongest contraction you could ever generate, you can't get to 100 without starting at 0, right? Because if you started at 30, now you only have 70% left of muscle function. And you can't contract past 100 to regain that 100% potential. You have to take that 30 and go back down to 0 in order for that muscle group to work. And so I started to understand that more and then anatomically see how the pelvic floor is directly connected into the hips, which is directly connected into the pelvis and the tailbone and then up the spine. And so it was really this central, tight, dysfunctional piece of muscle that we've been told like, oh, just do your Kegels, tighten, tighten, tighten. And I learned that tightening a tight muscle doesn't work. In fact, it could backfire. And that's where Kegels for many women weren't working. I can't tell you how many times women came to me, you know, when I was working in corporate healthcare and still today, and they're like, well, I had my baby 3 months ago and I'm still peeing myself. And the doctor said, just do Kegels, just do Kegels. Well, if it's not working, then do more. And I'm like, oh gosh. Okay. No, honey, let's understand what's going on here. And when I gave these women permission to stop doing Kegels, just stop and let your belly go. Don't hold it in, because that tightens your vagina and your pelvic floor also. I mean, if you're listening right now, go ahead and do it. If you pull your belly in, your butthole and your vagina tighten. And then if you let your belly go, everything releases. So part of the dysfunction that was of this pelvic floor tightness was that as women, we've been trained to hold our bellies in all the time. And so this overcompensation to be tight, to be thin, to have this strong core for a variety of reasons is actually contributing directly to bladder leakage and IBS and headaches. It was insane. But once I gave these women permission, like I said, to just let go, stop tightening, and just be with, and maybe even massage your pelvic floor muscles, and all of a sudden, magically, they weren't peeing themselves as much and their jaw pain got better and they could poop again without straining. And it was just about resetting those muscles, taking the, you know, the starting 30 level, that was terrible grammar, but it's okay, and taking it back down to the zero mark just provided the space and the opportunity for these muscles to automatically work the way they know how to work. So that's where the Kegel dilemma confuses a lot of people, because it's not about doing Kegels. It's about reestablishing a healthy resting position for these muscles so they can just work.
Amen. I know, I'm just thinking about like Mula Bandha, like the different bandhas in yoga and how powerful that is. And I do breath work when I meditate. I actually do that. I inhale slowly as I constrict every single muscle all the way up to my third eye. And I just keep tapping on that for different reasons to activate it. But it's the same thing. And that release after what you're actually doing. And this is kind of like nerd stuff. I don't know how many people are going to follow me on this, but I know you will. You're actually moving and promoting a faster movement of that cerebral and like spinal fluid. And that's why that breath work is very effective. So I would love to like nerd out a little bit with something with like pelvic floor work. Is that related? Because I know it's all connected to that. Yeah, just go wherever you want to go with this. I'm interested in learning more. I learn stuff when I'm interviewing here.
Totally. I would love to nerd out with you for a second. So yes. So, and that's why, because of what you just said, when the pelvic floor gets affected, released, whatnot, it helps with headaches because of that cerebral spinal fluid and the dural relationship. So the dura is like the skin of the nervous system. It's this outer coating of protection for the electrical wires, if you will, that are our spine and nerves. And they kind of fray out near the tailbone. And I always imagine they like put out these feelers for the pelvis to like spread and welcome all this information in. Yeah. The pelvic floor muscle group attaches to the tailbone, which is the tip of the whole spine.
Okay.
So when you tighten the pelvic floor or do a Kegel, you're shortening and pulling the tailbone into your pubic bone and creating a solid like tightness, mm-hmm. which pulls on the dura of the nervous system and helps pump the cerebral spinal fluid. Now, as anyone knows with a pump, if you pump it one way, but you don't allow the release in the other way, it doesn't refill. Like if, you know, a soap dispenser, you pump it down, but if you hold it there, going to be able to wash your hands again. You have to let the pump come back up to create this like suction into the tube. And the spinal column is a tube, mm-hmm. and they call it the dural tube in the craniosacral world. And so when we're in a tight pelvic floor contraction, it pulls things down and forward. And then when we release it, it allows that reset. So that relationship is wonderful. And so in that sense, doing Kegels is excellent. It's just when you're not letting the Kegel go, that reset doesn't happen. And then you're stuck in this tight, short dura that doesn't really feed the entirety of the nervous system the way it was intended.
Wow. Cool. I'm learning a lot here, and that the body just amazes me, and how it's like you said in the beginning of the show, it's all interconnected. It's you. And also, this is also another Dr. Christian Northrup quote, you know, the doctors have a wealth of knowledge, but you have a wealth of knowledge about your body. I think I just butchered that, but anyway, the moral of the story is that you know you and you know your body. And once you start tuning into this, working with somebody like Dr. Nikki, you realize that like this beautiful dance. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be like all scary. Like I've had a few Kundalini experiences before, not like completely like I was paralyzed. But you guys, this is why I like meditation. One of the things is I felt like I had an orgasm in my brain. Who wouldn't want that? Thank you very much. You know, and you know, here, I'll just put it all on the table here too. Women, when you have an orgasm, I used to tend to, and maybe you can speak to this too, Titan. I recently have started to release and expand. And it took me over 30 years to get here, people, but like, it's a spiritual experience. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, are we going to restrict into that pleasure that is our God-given right, that it's nothing to be ashamed of? Or are we going to release and expand and become one with the freaking universe here is really what it is. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it's the G-spot, some part of the female anatomy, I'm blanking on it, it's directly connected to your pineal gland, which is your third eye. Which basically is where your God, where your connection to God, you can actually can produce DMT, which is the God chemical in your body, which I think is amazing. It's a whole other podcast episode in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But you know, I know I've got work to do, but the power, stepping into that power, going through that shadow, which is part of the divine feminine, right? Of honoring that shadow, that moon side of it, not being solar all the time, is so powerful. And I was like, you know, I haven't done it in a while, but I take a lot of baths to process things, and I move around in the bath. And I don't know how many times I've told you I've done what you've done in a bath, screaming underneath the water, screaming outside the water, splashing around, just like this very primal, like almost felt like a weird dinosaur, like a reptile, like this very like energy coming out. And I'm like, no one else is here. I'm just going to see how this rolls out.
100%. And it's that, you know, uncontrollableness, right? This out of control that used to be honored and worshipped, you know, when it was the goddess that was worshipped before the god, and it was matriarchal societies versus patriarchal societies. Women would come together weekly, monthly, and just like hold hands and scream and dance. And I was reading this book about the history of belly dancing. Ooh. And this woman, oh, I forget where she's from, somewhere in the Middle East. I want to say it was Iran, but this women would dance for each other in belly dance. That was the tradition. It was this circle of love and support for the woman dancing in the center of the circle. And women would be clapping and cheering her on. And it was this movement, right? And belly dancing is all, it's head to toe movement and that expression. And she talks about how over the years, and everyone does it, right? From the 12-year-old girl to the 95-year-old grandma. And you can watch your body move and be witnessed by your fellow women and share in that journey, in that moment. And people would grieve through dance and celebrate through dance. And that physical movement of it all is primal. It's not linear. It's circular, right? It's three-dimensional. And it's, for some reason you were just saying that, and that reminded me that this is, it's not even important, it's vital, it's necessary. It is part of your health. It is part of your beingness. And so if anyone is ever feeling defeated or unfulfilled or like, there's got to be something more, right? I'm doing all the things, right? I have the house, I have the partner, I have the dog, I have the kid, I have the job, whatever it is, but there's still this lack. It's often because there's this disconnect between your embodiment of your true authentic emotions. And your body will always know that. Your mind will try and make sense of things all the time. And emotions aren't logical. And movement isn't always logical. And when we allow that to be a part of our beingness as women, there is so much untapped power in letting go. Just letting go. And we owe that to ourselves to revisit and rediscover that power of beingness, not doingness, which is the ultimate feminine. And I think, at least for me, I can't get to that powerful beingness until I do the ugly work, right? Yep. Until I do the writhing on the floor and the baring of my teeth and the clawing of my hands and the shaking and the crying. That's what allows me to get to that powerful beingness. And I think for women especially, there's such that disconnect because we've been shamed into being, you know, if you do that, you're just weird or you're crazy or you're this wild witchy woman, right? And I know. And so here we are celebrating our witchiness.
Yeah.
And you know, witchiness has gotten such a bad, you know, rap over the years as being evil or whatever. But no, every woman's got that power witch mm-hmm. in them, that ability to tap into nature and feel energy and use intuition, everything that isn't logical and linear. That's our power. And we'll leave the linear rational stuff up to the men.
And we'll learn, you know, and the process is incorporating that and balancing between the two. And thank you for that, because literally that I should just change my intro to what you just said for Witchy Wellness Radio. That's why I named it Witchy Wellness, you guys, is because a witch is a fully embodied woman in her power. And I want to flip that script about this bad connotation with it. And like generations, like, Yes, we can say patriarchy, but, you know, we've suffered. And, like, being afraid of being burned at the stake to, you know, I know growing up I started my period when I was younger. I think I was, like, 11. And being terrified to tell anybody, or if anybody saw that I had a pad or a tampon, like, I'm so ashamed of this, you know? Own it, girlfriend. Like, and I think so many of us are waking up, and that's how I started. Was I had a panic attack during my college graduation because I had built this life and was starting this career, which was, you know, not who I really was. And I'm like, I prepared my whole life for what I should be doing, but like, is this really it? And slew over 10 years later, I'm still on that journey, but you're right. You said it so succinctly. It's just being. And not learning to be and not do. And side note on the dancing, I mean, it doesn't cost anything. I can link my favorite playlist. I have a playlist that I call my future vibes playlist, but it's just feel good music that you can just move through whatever you're feeling. But earlier pre-COVID, I guess it was 2019, might have been early 2020, I started taking twerking classes because of this. And you know, the intake form, it's like, well, why did you want to come to this class today? And of course me, I go to fully embody my divine feminine goddess self. Like, you know, yes. I'm sure, you know, whatever, but it was so, it reminded me of what you were talking about. I felt so seen and honored, and it was such an accepted space that was held for everybody there. And there were all sorts of women from all different walks of life and backgrounds. And it was just like this beautiful space of like owning that first center. It was amazing. And I need to get back into that again, but things like that, things that you think, okay, this might not be spiritually related or related to my holistic health, but it is. Cause at the end of the day, we're all just energy people. And I love that you're starting to work with people across the world doing this work energetically, because we think that we're solid, but we're actually more energy than we are. Like at an atomic level, there's more wavelength than there is that atom. So it blows my mind, right? And that's what we're doing with this physical embodiment work, is you're moving that energy around. And the word emotion, energy and motion, the etymology of it. I like looking at it, dissecting it that way, because we just got to work it out a little bit.
Yeah. And fully understand in that it's temporary. If we allow it to be temporary, that in its natural state, emotions are temporary. It's when we don't allow them to be there that they become more, that we store it, right? We store it and hold on to it. And there's no movement in that. And so that's given me a lot of power, is if we can remind ourselves that everything is temporary. Everything. That is nature, right? That's part of being a witch, is fully understanding and honoring the temporary and, you know, the seasons and everything. And so when we're in tune with the constant letting go and receiving and letting go and receiving, there is so much power in that. And there's so much happiness in that. And so much of our lack of fulfillment as women is because we're not tapped into that. We're like you were doing and like I did for a long time, going through life according to what we were told we should do. Mm-hmm. We should do as a woman. We should do as an athlete. We should do as this. It was all shoulds. And it wasn't until I was in my mid-30s that I was like, why am I so desperately looking for a husband right now? Like, why do I really want a husband? Like, why am I doing this? Because people are asking me, well, are you married? Why not? Do you have kids? Oh, you don't want kids? Why don't you want kids? What's wrong with you? Like, I'm this terrible woman because I'm not making it my life's purpose to have a husband and children. And I started to really question myself and going, okay, am I doing this because this is something I really want? Or am I doing this because I'm supposed to? Because I've been told that that's what a woman is supposed to become, is a wife and a mother. And I started to see that as another box I had to check or tick. And then I was like, wow, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm still sitting in the I don't know. And I'm okay with it.
Oh, yeah. And that's yeah. I still go through that. That's what I was going through a few weeks, months ago, was just like re-examining, like, okay, I thought like to this point, I re-examined those shoulds. And then it came up again and it pushed me down pretty hard. And it's just continually to letting go and receiving. That it's that process, that dance, and learning to heal that divine feminine in you and incorporate her into your, embody her into your life. I just looked at the time and I'm like, holy crap. I feel like we just started. We're going here. So obviously you practice in California, but I mean, I know everybody listening is going to be like, how can I work with Dr. Nikki, please? I know you are like transitioning onto the online world, which is, we're all blessed that we could have you, and maybe eventually energetically virtually as well. I know you have your ebook out there, and could you tell us a little bit about the online course that you're starting so we all can benefit from your work?
Thank you. Yeah. So I think if people want to know more about this conversation, the best thing to do would be to download the ebook, which is also on my website. And I have to put it on my Instagram, but it'll be there too. Because it's a nice window into just really understanding your body and how it works. Especially with regards to Kegels, because it's the truth about Kegels, but I think it pertains to so many other facets of your life. And then one of the things that I discovered is that so much of specifically the bladder issues that I was experiencing and that the women have come to me with, I'd say like 70, 85% of the improvement was giving them the information that they needed, not necessarily the hands-on work. It was there was this gap of, oh, what I eat and drink could affect my bladder and why it's being this way. My posture can affect my bladder. My nervous system affects my bladder. And so just giving them these tools transformed the way they, not only the way their bladder worked, but their relationship to their body. So as the first of many online courses that I'm going to launch, I'm offering the first one called Bladder Essentials, which is just the essential information you need to know about your bladder and why it's not working well. And that will be available in probably in the next couple of days. It's my New Year's resolution to finally get that out into the world. And so eventually I'm hoping there will be, you know, a postpartum essentials and a bowel essentials. And just again, to empower people to understand what's going on, which gives you, you know, relief immediately when you can understand, oh, that could be why. So yeah, that's the first course that will be launched because that was where I felt there was the biggest need. But anyway, so yeah, that's my new adventure.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, this will definitely be out. This will air probably, I think, in February. So maybe March, and if there's any other courses up by then, we'll make sure to link this in the show notes, everybody.
Perfect.
I had, it was such a pleasure and like a beautiful big breath of fresh air to have you on the show today. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to have you here. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about or cover before we wrap up the show today?
No, I think we covered everything. And I just want to thank you for doing what you're doing. I love Witchy Wellness. I love what you're doing to empower women to tap into that beautiful witch that we are and to find strength and guidance in connecting to your body, because that is what I have found to be the biggest piece in my own health journey and in my ability to serve those that I'm fortunate enough to work with. So thank you for being this bridge to allow me to come on the show and share that and empower the women who are listening.
You're so welcome. It's been such a healing part of my journey, right? I learned from beautiful people like you, and but it keeps me inspired. And just to hear, I know I started out a lot of this, like I used to listen to a lot of Dr. Wayne Dyer and Dr. Christian Northrup, like I Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, like, you know, like the Doorstop book, that's like, you know, huge, like super into that, and followed up with those little breadcrumbs that my intuition led me to, and things like, you know, short little tidbit, I started this a past relationship, and Dr. Northrup started talking about on her show, you know, this concept of like narcissist and all these symptoms and traits. And I was in denial, but I kept listening to it. And I was like, oh, crap. And long story short, I ended up getting out of that relationship eventually. But you never know what a podcast, how it can help inspire or be that mirror for somebody. And if you guys are, you know, something's clicking or something's maybe triggering you in a good or maybe not good way, follow up on that lead. And this is not just me plugging this show, whatever show you listen to. I don't care. But this is your divine guidance. You know, God or the universe speaks to you in so many ways. If it's hitting home, it's hitting home for a reason.
Thank you for saying that. Yes, your intuition is always on point for whatever it is. And the second we shame that or we judge it and we go, no, I can't do that. I'm not the type of person that listens to witchy wellness. That's just weird. But if you have a desire, just do it, right? Like get up and go. If you're like, well, it's midnight, but I feel like taking a walk, just go. You know, you never know what that's going to bring. And then your body knows that you're listening to it. And that creates a beautiful, healthy relationship between you and your body versus one that we've inherited of shame and guilt and judgment.
Yes. And you know what? It's not anything that we can't handle, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not blaming. And I know you're not about that either. Cause I've had friends or people in the past I've known, they're like, well, I know how I have money issues. I inherited them from my father and that's why I have back pain. Like they get the metaphysical stuff, but it's like, okay, now that you realize that, own it.
Yes.
Right?
There own is it. A difference between knowing something and embodying that something. And it's the embodiment of it that is truly allowing it to process through you and not be a context or a concept out here, but to really be a part of you. And once people really embody that with however that looks, and that's usually some sort of primal, right? Releasing out of control, witchy woman thing to do. That's when it fully gets embodied. And that's when it usually starts to go away.
Mm. Wow. Thank you again, Dr. Nikki, for coming on the show. I always close out the show. Just, I'm so grateful for you and the work that you do and the beautiful witchy woman that you have become and just radiate out into this world. How may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
To really return to me, and to give back to me, I want you who's listening right now to just stop and love yourself and put your hand anywhere on your body and connect to your body and feel its vibration and open the lines of communication to what she is saying to you, and be receptive to that. No matter if it doesn't make sense or it's weird or whatever, being with that will help me know that I did my purpose.
Wow. Thank you. It was such a pleasure with talking to you today.
Thank you so much, Lauren. It was my pleasure as well.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.